On July 24th, 25th, and 26th, I had the opportunity to watch some movies that were premiering at the Action and Fan Fiction Short Film Festival. Zero Rondlings conducted the online event. The experience was pretty cool. I enjoyed these five films, and watching a few of these films really caught my attention. The following are my movie reviews. They were five in number. Initially, I thought there were more, but the others were from previous years, I noticed. Occasionally, I mention actors and actresses' names in my reviews dealing with these movies that I'm going to list and talk about. Others aren't mentioned because there are no photos corresponding to their names when I was looking them up on IMDb. So they're not mentioned because there are no photos corresponding to their names. I like to know what and who I'm talking about, and I need a face to match the characters. So, in dealing with this film festival, here's what's hot. Number one, the movie was the Pamela and Ivy. The movie Pamela and Ivy starts out with a girl named Ivy, and she is played by Aria Lyric LeBou, and she plays a little girl, Ivy slash Pamela. In the scene, it starts out. It's a movie short. She's speaking with an older man who's played by Eric Roberts. And I believe, looking at this movie, is Ivy's father. Assuming the dude is Ivy's father, he appears authoritative at first glance. Nevertheless, it goes further than that. At this restaurant, they're sitting down eating. And a little stain is noted after they're done when he said it's time to go home from the restaurant. He gets home and he goes beyond being upset. He says, "Good girls don't get dirty." As he is more than strict during the film, more going beyond the authoritative kind of parent, he enters this room. It looks like it might be a garage where he forces the girl to go. And the little girl looking at it looks like she's a prisoner. And my first reaction is like, oh my gosh, this is worse than Mommy Dearest or something. She's laying on a cold floor out in the garage or whatever room she's in, and her only companion is herself. And out of that ground part of whatever room she's in, eventually rises a little plant. And after some time, she's still in that cold room on the floor, and that plant over time begins to grow. So this room apparently is appears to be her prison. So when her dad finally opens the door to her makeshift little dungeon, Ivy hurries up and tries to cover the plant up. She rushes to hide it. She's hiding something, hiding it from him. Therefore, he demands that she stand up because he realizes that she's hiding it. So while she tries to conceal the plant with her feet, when he tells her to stand up, he comes over and destroys it. After that, he says, "Good girls always obey," something like that. So apparently, her slip or whatever, from her in between her being on the floor and everything, it gets stained. And because of this, her dad makes her go to the bathroom where he runs the water since he doesn't like her being dirty. While the bath water is getting ready, all of a sudden there's a mirror image of her talking to her. This goes on throughout the film. It looks like a twin version of her, and she's talking to it. And the good and the bad little angel on one side, on the shoulder, like they used to portray in Looney Tunes and movies and stuff. Well, there's a mirror image of her talking to herself. And in any case, her bad side talks to her. And during these kinds of scenes in the movie like this, I came to the conclusion, since this is the real world, I guess this indicates she may have an alternate ego, split personality movie. So I was like, okay, this must be some kind of psychological thriller going on. Anywho, Ivy starts arguing back and forth with her imaginary friend. And when she tells her imaginary friends to shut up, her dad is like, what? As he's running his bathwater, the bathwater scene. So this imaginary argument continues going back and forth in this bathroom, and a tragic accident occurs. A very tragic accident happens. So next, after this accident happens, I'm not going to fill you in on that, what happens about that. She approaches, Ivy approaches the front door where this woman, played by Courtney Hawkins, is rushing to her, runs to her, and guess what? That guy I was explaining, Ivy's dad, because I wasn't sure, he wasn't her dad at all. He was her kidnapper. So that's what happens to that. And the movie gets really, you know, really good. It left me in, you know, total shock. You know, I was like, here we are. This is dad beyond crazed. And now I'm like, okay, I understand now. So she's reunited with her real parents. And her mom plays her real mom is Courtney Hawkins. And the guy that plays her real dad is Ryan W. Garcia. Now, she's reunited with them. On the other hand, you begin to notice, well, her parents anyway, begins to notice there's something wrong with her. And so they end up taking her to a psychologist to get checked out because she's also, you know, having conversations in her home where she gets reunited. So the psychologist determines that Ivy / Pamela is suffering from a psychosis as well as traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, that this really tears the parents up. So they're like, who's Ivy? And it's further explained. It goes on, however, Ivy continues to see her psychiatrist, who's played by Gita Reddy. And her parents are, you know, of course, distraught over it. And this is what they have to continue to deal with. One mad mess. Next, the story goes forward. Ivy, who's her parents originally named her Pamela. Now Pamela grows up, and the grown Pamela / Ivy is played by the actress Leah McKendrick. Now she's in a career or a major in science or whatever it is, plant studies. Apparently, Pamela's professor, played by Patrick Zeller, has some kind of green potion he talks to her about, and he asked to inject into her arm. You know, after, and he injects it after she agrees that she trusts him. So now we begin the story of Poison Ivy, Pamela's other personality. Pamela stops in a convenience store and asks the clerk named Maggie, who's played by Jocelyn Ayana, where the bathroom is. Well, she explains to Pamela that there are no public restrooms are available in the building, you know, according to the clerk. Eventually, Maggie lets Pamela go to the bathroom, and Pamela goes in there, and the lights start flickering on and off. Power goes out again about the second or third time, and Maggie walks toward the bathroom. Well, for like the third time, it flicks her, and she sees it. Maggie's like, oh, hell no. So she hurries up and just, you know, goes back to her register. And as she's approaching that register, a man walks behind her. He's a gun. And the gunman is behind her, and like he's taking a hostage. And that the gunman is played by Marshall Williams. So as she's brought in by force to face, you know, that cash register, he already has a crew in the middle of robbing her convenience store she's working at. And as the audience watches the mugging take place, Poison Ivy is revealed. And the rest of the story remains unspoiled. As a result, you must rely on your imagination until you see the movie for yourselves. So it's pretty good. Next is the movie Caught. Now, in Caught, this movie begins with a married couple doing married couple things until the husband takes a shower while the wife goes in the closet. Well, the wife's name's Jessica. And Jessica knows her husband is Michael Roberts. However, she explores the closet even more because her curiosity is piqued when she finds her husband's passport. And there's a gun right in the same area. She opens up the passport and the name revealed is Chris McCoy. And it's a name she's not familiar with. On the floor of the closet, of course, near that passport is a gun next to where she found the passport. In response, she begins to yell questions from the closet to her husband, who's in the shower, asking him about it. Well, finally, but having finished the shower, Michael Roberts, who she knows her husband as, sees that she's hiding something behind her back, which is that passport that she saw a different name on. Well, he questions her more about it as he moves closer to her, and she decides to move that passport from behind herself and confess what she found. Well, eventually, he makes his way to calling a friend of his, and she moves to another room and talks to a female. Meanwhile, the man that her husband, Michael, calls, tells Michael to kill his wife. Now, fortunately, Mrs. Roberts is not a fool. In her possession, she goes and gets her gun. Her possession. In addition, I was like, OMG, because it turns into like a shootout, like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith's movie. Now, both of them end up shooting at each other. And then, lo and behold, are you ready for this? They begin fighting. I'm not talking about playground fighting at elementary school here. I'm talking about two people fighting like niggas. The fight goes on and on from the living room to the kitchen and so forth. The vase gets smashed. Cups get broken, glass cups get broken. I mean, they are taking it to the floor. The moment I think these two lovebirds are going to quit, they start choking one another. It goes on and on. Suddenly, a little girl emerges. The couple has a child. OMG. We're not done yet. You know why? Remember what I mentioned earlier? The guy who was talking to the husband, Michael Roberts. And Vanessa, the wife who was talking to the female, well, guess what? Those two who they're talking to are a couple as well. The couple that they're talking to are both in separate rooms in their own home while telling Mr. and Mrs. Roberts what to do. Now, once they hung up with Mr. and Mrs. Roberts, who the married couple was talking to, the other people was giving advice to Vanessa and her husband, Mr. and Mrs. Roberts. They leave those rooms in their own homes and lie to one another about their own spy activities. So this is like a double spy kind of situation. All in all, this movie is a sizzler. Sizzler. It's totally sizzling. And it's an absolute must-see, believe me. Next is the movie called Run, Girl, Run. Run, Girl, Run begins with a woman warming up at this location. She's a marathoner played by Allison Flandre because she's training for a marathon in Detroit. After some time, a lady in dark clothes played by Allison L. Smith runs into this marathoner who's training for the Detroit Marathon. And the lady that plays the marathon runner, the character America Run Runner, is played by Allison, like I said, Flandler, but her character in the movie is called Alana. So Alana gets, you know, kind of jarred knocked by this mysterious runner while she's training. She knocked off balance for a moment. Well, having warmed up, the marathoner named Alana begins her run. After completing her run, she takes a break and starts to smoke. So as she's smoking and relaxing, a stranger approaches her moments later, smokes with her in between, giving a small talk. Now, the two did not finish their small talk because Alana is focused on training and making it home. Eventually, she gets home, gets in the bed, wakes up, and begins her day. I don't know, but her bedroom seems serene. It's great. It reminds me of what I like to put in my room. I love Christmas lights hanging in my room, and that's exactly what Alana has hanging on her wall. There's Christmas lights add a nice touch to her room. Well, anyway, the same woman runs into her the next day and begins to strike up a conversation with Alana, the marathon runner, this time. Both women engage in small talk. Now, once the stranger who bumped into the day before, played by Allison L. Smith, begins to run off, Alana, the marathoner, says, "Hey, you're going the wrong way." And the mysterious lady says, "I know." Well, the truth is revealed once they're talking. The man begins to move up behind Alana, the lady is making herself a distraction so Alana won't know what's going on. So as they're talking, she says, "I know." A man walks up and knocks Alana out, unidentified man. Well, after she wakes up after she wakes up from getting knocked out, three or so strangers stand over her and inform her that her brother owes them money. As luck will have it, a cop played by Robert Holland is in the area and comes to investigate. Well, sadly, the cop is knocked out. As he's being knocked out and the group is figure out what to do with him next, the cop, Alana, happens to escape from the group. And throughout this movie, it reminds me of a cat chasing the mouse kind of situation. Once the marathon Alana returns home from running, you know, they're chasing her throughout this movie, you know. And when she finally makes it home, she's seen going to bed, waking up, and then she marks her days on a calendar until the marathon. Now it's boils down to 2 days until the marathon. So now Alana has 2 more days to train for this marathon. Now, I find the case bizarre since she continues to run daily as if nothing happened. Her day before was horrible. It's hard to say. I mean, it's interesting to see what happens in this movie if it turns into be a longer movie. Are Alana's chances of making the marathon good? Pay attention to the small details of this movie. You will notice a few things. One thing that almost slipped my mind, clearly it was a clue. And that clue was kind of hilarious. And that clue was hanging on Alana's wall. During the film, the camera zoomed in on the picture showing two runners on either side of the marathon runner, Alana. It was of a different marathon. Two guys, it was like a black and white photo. The two guys that was standing on the side of her looked totally out of place. They weren't running, wearing marathon clothes. It was as if they didn't want her to run a race. And the expression on their faces were odd. Both men didn't look like a typical marathon runner either. And her top had numbers on it, but the two men in her photo did not have any marathon shirts with numbers on it. Now, regarding this movie, how Alana continues to prepare for the marathon, this reminds me of a movie version of The Road Runner, where everyone else is Wile E. the Coyote and Alana is the Road Runner. Next up in my movie review is the movie called Blind Runners. Blind Runners is a movie that's based on World War II, where in World War II, what they did was the American soldiers that were captured during this war, the soldiers became prisoners of war in Nazi Germany at the time. those that attempted to run away from the Nazi soldiers, away from the Nazi prison camp, those that were captured after they fled were punished by having their eyes gouged out. And after their eyes were gouged out, they were dubbed blind runners. But as the story begins, two American soldiers played by Tom Bonoglio, one of the main characters, he plays a sergeant in the movie. Well, there's two of them escape from the German prisoner of war camp. So Tom Bonoglio plays Sergeant Hicks. And there's another guy that plays Private Jackson. Sergeant Hicks, you have Sergeant Hicks and Private Jackson, the characters in the movie, main characters, and they're both in the military. For the time being, both are free. They escape the prison of war camp. But despite this, they have to run fast and as far as they can in order to avoid being captured. Sadly, it seems like every story has a weak person who is fucked up, hurting and shit. Yes, this movie has one of those characters. Anyhow, it's the younger soldier, Private Jackson, who is a fuck up. The sergeant ends up being slowed down by Private Jackson. Anger was high on my list of feelings. I was really pissed seeing this. I was pissed and it just scared the shit out of me because I was like, oh my God, will they get away? Will they get away? Oh my God. Well, anyway, Sergeant Hicks is a tough guy who not only has balls, but also stays awake all night to watch Private Jackson sleep. Private Jackson's not only younger, but he messes up even more by falling and, you know, he's breaking his leg and shit like that. Not sure if his leg is broken, but it looks broken, like he broke it. And now he becomes a danger to him because guess what? He also vomited. So anyway, in response, the sergeant volunteers to become a target to throw off the Nazi soldiers in order to stop them from searching Private Jackson. The next day passes and they find out the Nazis are nearing them. They're nearby. Now, my question is, can a young guy survive? Can Private Jackson survive? And while Sergeant Hicks is throwing the guys off their trail? You know, the truth is starting unknown since Private Jackson failed to cover his tracks. Well, the man vomited and covered his tracks very poorly. Once the German soldiers detected the vomit, stepping in it, and that was all she wrote. I was like, well, that's it, damn it. Sergeant Hicks was far too brave for me. My apologies. I'm sorry. It seemed to me that the young soldier should have been left behind. It's a wrap. That's it, I thought, after Sergeant's death. It remains to be seen if Private Jackson is able to make it anywhere, because the future doesn't look too bright for the private either. I was like, you fucking bastard. I mean, I got all wrapped up in the film. It's just, whew. That's some scary shit. Now, you know, I can't imagine myself, you know, things like that in Nazi Germany. That's a very dangerous time. It is horrible. That's horrible. Anyway, the movie's great. It's very intense and just really gets you into it. So it's worth watching. Remember, I told you these are movie shorts, you know, that I watched from this film festival, online film festival. The next movie I reviewed is called Rogue Seven, a Star Wars fan film. It's a movie based off of George Lucas' film Star Wars, which is the inspiration for this film. This movie, Rogue Seven, a Star Wars fan film, is cute. Initially, people fly in space in these space vehicles, and some crew kidnaps two young men. One kidnapped man saves another kidnapped man from the kidnapper's clutches. The pair escapes, and they plan to continue their lives, go their own way. However, one of the guys that was helped to get, you know, released from the kidnappers, he has a broken leg or something. His leg is injured. Well, his main concern is saving his crew who are in the skies. So as a result, the other guy who helped him get free volunteered to go into space to save his crew. So an attempt is made to save the guy's crew while the guy's lying injured. He said he'll come back and get him. And there, his crew is fighting in enemy vessels in space. Well, ends up his crew is saved by the guy and which is surprising. Still, unfortunately, there are a few rotten apples left in space. So as far as I can tell, the guy who was left behind is a captain. I don't know. Somehow, the formerly kidnapped and injured guy who was interested in his crew getting saved ends up back on his spaceship. They don't get into details about that, how he ends up, you know, getting back. But it appears that these crew members' troubles are not over shortly after he's back on the ship and everything, because one of the enemy vessels, one of the guys that was attacking them in space, end up on their ship. So in the end, the injured guy ends up saving the day, and everything is cool. In general, the movie is cute. It's not Buck Rogers or anything like that, but the cuteness does not diminish. A cute little robot even appears in the movie. See for yourself. Also, hey, at the end, you'll find a special treat. There are bloopers in the movie. So it's good. Thank you for listening, folks. Appreciate it.